Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And you all, winter has arrived.
It's cold.
It came in fast.
Right, exactly. Came in hot, or in this case, it came in cold.
Yeah, it really did.
Well, we hope that you all did not get stuck having to roll in or cover up all your plants at the last minute because it got really, really cold really quick out here. But we hope that some things have either gone to rest for the season, or if not, there's still a little chance to kind of protect them.
Or they went to the big garden in the sky.
Right, exactly.
Well, maybe not, John. You know, lots of times things look like they went to the big garden in the sky on the top, but there's still that riot going on under the ground or in the pots. So don't give it up.
The winter just started.
That's right.
Exactly. And you always see the people around town are really kind of creative when it comes to protecting their plants, whether they're in the ground or in containers. And, you know, you kind of have to take a little step back and kind of look exactly where the growing points of the plants are. And I know that we don't really recommend palms, but they are quite popular around here. And I kind of see them all of the entire trunk, if you will, kind of covered up in either plastic. And I've seen them tarps and all sorts of bungee cord issues going on. But really that growth point is right in the center, right where those fronds are. And if that is exposed, then your palms.
I got pictures of some palms that were wrapped with that. Mirrored insulation stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
I've seen that as well.
It looks like a space creature out there.
Alien palms.
Yeah,
right.
It's
a new
palm
cultivar.
Right. Exactly. So you definitely want to make sure that palm trees that are, that's a growing point. And the other part, not so much. So we do know that, you know, plants that are going to be planted into the ground actually have a bit more protection because you have that buffering capacity of that soil to buffer the temperatures or the fluctuating temperatures, if you will. But container plants, not so much. And those guys really need to be protected and wheeled in into a covered area,
yes,
if you will. And I know, Jan, you like to do a lot of container gardening.
Oh, my goodness. I'm out of control.
She's addicted.
I am. we're gonna start our own organization to see if we can get a 12-step program going here.
We need to give Jan the addiction hotline.
I know, exactly. But that's okay. That's okay because we've really had a lot of fun with a lot of the master gardeners. We've been chatting about, you know, our succulents in particular, and this week we were all passing pictures back and forth of greenhouses and all of that good stuff. But they. And some are, you know, we don't realize it, but some of them are winter growers. There's a list of summer growers and a list of winter growers. The beautiful Schwarzkopf Ionium that has kind of a really magenta, almost a black leaf, it's a winter grower. So it's going to really, it's going to take off here pretty quick. But you still have to keep them covered. And one of the things that I found with my containers, if you don't have a lot of room to, greenhouse space or whatever, you can wrap them in newspaper, wrap your container in newspaper, and then wrap some bubble wrap around that and still throw a sheet or whatever over the top. Please don't put plastic. Please don't put, because the sun during the day is still going to hit that plastic and it's going to burn your plants. So, you know, hit a garage sale or go to the, you know, Savers or Goodwill or something and buy some old sheets, preferably lighter colors so that the sun, or you can buy shade cloth, but, you know, that gets kind of expensive. So there's all, even that few degrees difference in temperature will help.
And you like to leave a little bit of an insulating factor so you don't want the material right on top of the plant. You like
right.
to leave a little bit of space to get mm-hmm. that protective insulating area in there.
Sure.
But they do sell.
Air circulate.
Yeah, they do sell, you know, the frost blanket type material. You can buy it in different sizes and mm-hmm. stuff. And it's good for about, you know, depending on the quality of stuff, 3 to 5 degrees maybe protection. So if it's going to drop down to 20 and your plant is sensitive at 32, kiss it bye.
Right.
I noticed on my front porch, I have a huge fern. I mean, it is big and I cannot manage it to move it. So, and it's in a corner of my courtyard. So it gets that residual heat from the brick. right. and from the concrete. So, you know, those things help too. And the exposure, you know, it gets some afternoon sun, but mostly it gets good morning sun. And I use one of those frost blankets, mostly because the frost blanket is huge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can tuck it around the plant. Try to remember to take it off during the day. I know we should. So, but then you find yourself running out there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when it's out quite chilly. Yeah.
Right.
To cover things
well, frost,
up again.
The frost blanket is a little bit breathable, so it's plastic or something where it builds up heat inside mm-hmm. it. But.
And that's what I like about the sheets, too, because especially those that are cotton.
Right.
You know, they breathe a little bit mm-hmm. as well, and it's worked for me. And even though it may take a hit on the top, it's, you know, more concerned yeah. about what's going on.
Of course,
with
the
root
if you
ball.
Have a south-facing wall, that's ideal for the winter because you're getting a lot of reflected light,
yes.
the sun comes in, hits the wall, warms the wall up, and then it radiates
bounces
heat
off into the plant.
At night.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can trap some of that heat,
right.
you know, put your plants up close to the wall.
Right, exactly.
That'll work good. But if you're a north exposure, oh,
it's a
baby.
Cold. Yeah, a little cold.
Yeah, put tough. Those plants up against the building and put something over them. Hopefully there'll be enough mm-hmm. heat coming out of the wall, you know, from inside the house. I know back when solar greenhouses were real popular and everything, you know, people would put jugs of water in a dark colored container
yes.
and the jug would heat up mm-hmm. during the day and then radiate heat off at night, and those were usually in the greenhouses and heat in the house there.
I was reading an interesting article about bougainvilleas because I do have several uh-huh. and I have one that was given to me in 1998 and it even survived the freeze of 11
oh.
and it has a lot of sentimental value to me, but it said in the article that don't worry if they lose their leaves. You can either take them into a basement, not that we have any here, or a garage. So if it, and mine's in the ground, is in a courtyard area, so it has two brick walls around it. And I just mulch it, cut it back all the way, and it's come back every year since 2018.
Yeah, some of those
cool.
frost-sensitive, you know, Tacomas and
right, those guys get
yellow bells, especially mm-hmm. some of the hybrids and
mm-hmm,
stuff, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll get damaged up on top. But if you have some mulch around the bottom and stuff, you can protect that root ball and
right.
base area so they'll resprout the next year.
Exactly.
And we were talking about that before the show as well, is that when you do have those dieback of those tender plants, whether it's the yellow bells, lantana does that
yes.
as well too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to look unsightly for the season, but those dead stems and leaves are actually are insulating and acting as mm-hmm. a mulch for the entire mm-hmm. season.
Right.
So don't be too quick to,
right. and if you're,
to pull those back.
You know, in question whether it's alive or dead, you yeah. can always take a knife and just scrape the bark.
Right.
If it's green see. Underneath and mm-hmm. still alive, leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's brown, you can probably cut it off.
Right.
But, you know, lantanas and stuff that get pretty big and you got a lot of, you know, you can trim some of those branches back, but don't do your final cut. Wait until spring.
Right.
See
well,
what's going to
like
come back.
It's like a blanket.
Yeah.
It's just like, and the lantana does that every year. And I've had some in the ground for 15 years, and they've come back year after year after year. And I noticed this morning, even when I looked out, the lantana looks better.
No,
right.
A
okay.
lot of people have
yeah.
mentioned their
right.
lantanas turn from
and
green
okay.
to brown
right.
real quick.
Overnight, literally.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? We think about it, oh, it's so cold, but average frost date in El Paso is November the 15th. So back in the freeze of 2011, the reason we lost so much is because the temperatures were down for a 72-hour period.
Right.
I mean, if you have a couple of hours or three, even 5-6 hours of the colder temperatures, it's not going to do near the damage that it's going to do if the temperatures are down to 70, you know, or
yeah.
down below zero or whatever, like it was that year.
And I love the cold temperatures. I mean, we need a winter.
We do.
Biologically, we need a winter. We need to
kill some bugs,
kill some spores.
Take the leaves off so we don't have to prune them. And
exactly.
Them.
We need those. We need those
don't
killing
have to
frosts.
Mow anymore.
We need those killing frosts. It's a good thing. It really is a good thing. We're a little concerned when it's too warm, just like we experienced last winter. But
well,
it never just got
well, those that have
enough.
Fruit trees and stuff, that cold weather starts giving you your chill units.
Yes.
And that's what you
right.
need for a good bloom mm-hmm.
and
a good fruit crop.
And
right.
if you're an indoor gardener or you have a lot of house plants as well, now's the time to really pull back on any kind of fertilization
yes.
on your plants as well. Kind of keep an eye out if you're going to turn on your heater, your furnace units, that really warm dry air is going to kind of maybe alter your watering cycle on that too. So kind of keep an eye on those, but definitely
and
don't.
The days are getting shorter, so it'll get maybe a little darker.
Darker sooner.
No, it's, and I think we're just like our plants. We need that season of dormancy.
Right.
Yeah. I need to be dormant, and it's a busy time of the year when we can't dormant.
I'd hold off on any real major pruning a little bit and let.
Yeah, well,
let
just take care
cold
of your
periods come in
and dead and diseased. And don't just go whacking at things.
You're going to want to tune into our Christmas time shows on there, because that's when we really dive into our tree pruning activities, because that's when you should be doing that. And we're also gearing up to talk.
No Edward Scissorhands.
No, don't. No, exactly. It's a great time to always be inside. And it's always a great time to learn a little bit more about gardening. And there's always the Master Gardener website.
Yes.
That you can visit at txmg.org/El Paso. So there's also a lot of great gardening books, as well as reference materials to be able to take a look at. So if there's something that you are interested in, maybe challenging yourself as far as a new gardening adventure, whether that's succulents or vegetables or even fruit trees, now's the time to really get a chance to be able to look and understand and learn more about that during those cozy
now when you can
evenings.
Sit in front of you know, everybody has their ebooks, and I have one as well, but when it comes to gardening, I want a hardback book in front of me so I can do the pictures and see what, you know, my garden's going to look like in the spring, and it is a wonderful time to plan. Go through your seed catalogs and see what you might be thinking about planting in the spring or especially with your vegetables, because it'll be here before we know it.
That's for sure.
Exactly.
There's always something going in the garden.
Right. It's very true.
Always. But the other thing, you were talking about doing inside plants too, Denise. You know, when we talk about taking, when you get a new plant, to harden it off when you go outside, I think you have, what do you call it, hardening it on when you bring it inside? I mean, you know, because it can take
a little bit of shock
when you bring it in too, and avoid those drafts like you were talking about. And, you know, when I'm teaching the container gardening, people always ask about watering, and I'm convinced that more people drown their plants than letting them dry out. And there's a really easy tip where you can take a number two pencil and put it down in the soil. Don't worry so much about something looking dry on the top of that container. Right. You want to know what's going on again down underneath. And if you put that pencil in, pull it out, and it has got soil on it, then it's wet down around the root ball. If it comes out dry, that's your indication that it's time to water. But you know, we make that mistake very, very frequently. So that's a good tip to keep in mind, both inside and out.
And hopefully, when you're bringing them in, when you first planted them back in the spring, that you put that little wire at the bottom or whatever to keep all the creepy crawlies from going
If
you didn't do that, you bring them in, you probably see
old screens are great for that. And you can buy it by the yard. So
definitely. Well, we hope we've given you some cold weather gardening tips for your garden adventure this season. We want to thank you for listening to today's show, and also thank Danny Gonzalez for engineering and producing our show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.